We've been going through the few weeks when I've been speaking, looking at the purposes for which God entered into our human experience in that event that we now call Christmas, and we celebrate it all around the world in different ways. And I've been trying to, I guess, get a message across that it's not the celebrating, it's the event itself, or it's celebrating the event rather than celebrating the celebration, if you get my drift. First of all, we saw in John chapter 3, verse 8, that one of the purposes of the Son of God coming, and I've just tried to take the verses in the Bible where it actually is giving us a clear sense of what the purpose is. Christ is God. Christ is God's Son. So the word that's used when the Bible talks about him coming to earth has words like appeared or revealed or made known or made visible. It doesn't mean at all that he came into being. All it means is the one who has existed as God from time before and where shall forever be, who has been present in the world from that event of Christmas, God made him visible, God made him known in that sense. God is eternal, without beginning and without end. 1 John verse 3:8, the first purpose that we talked about was that the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. And then we followed up with that with a verse a few before that one in 1 John 3 verse 5. The second purpose was that the Son of God appeared to take away our sin, which in a sense was the handiwork of the devil as he tricked us to use our self-will and our free choice in disobedience to what God has said. Today we're looking at first John, but at John 14. The third purpose, and that was that the Son of God appeared in the world to reveal who God is. As Roland read it to us in verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now that's a pretty awesome statement. Always we run the danger of familiarity causing us to either take for granted or skip over or think, oh yes, know what that means, read on. But if we really stop and think about this verse, we could ponder that for the rest of our life. Maybe we will ponder that for the rest of our life, maybe for the rest of eternity. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I drove past a cafe the other day called Sublime. And I went home and I looked up what the word sublime means. It's not a word we use very much, is it? Sublime means of the most exalted kind, so distinguished by elevation or size or nobility or grandeur as to inspire awe and wonder. Sublime Cafe? Sublime is a word that qualifies for use with God. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. That is sublime. And yet, at the same time, it is simplicity itself, isn't it? No statement in the scriptures is so comprehensive, so inclusive, and so exhaustive, and yet is so simply clear than that verse. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. It's a response to Philip's question. It's interesting, isn't it, where names are singled out. It doesn't just say a disciple said this or a disciple asked that. In verse 5 it says it was specifically Thomas. And then in verse 8 we see it was specifically Philip who asked this question, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And to that question, Jesus responds, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? That statement is sheer audacity if you put it into the mouths of anybody else who'd said it. We won't go into all the theological things, but he's claiming absolute, total equality with God, the Creator. Beyond that, he goes on, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What was the conception that was in Philip's mind of God? Does it stop? Do you stop and ask that question? What was the question, if you like, behind the question? What was the conception of God before Christ appeared? If we just kind of race back through the history and then even look at now as history goes, particularly in the last 50 years, it seems as people grew in their intellectual conception of God, he grew increasingly distant from their thinking. It seemed, and seems to many people even today, increasingly unthinkable that God, if there is such a being, could be interested in their daily life. And that is one of the things probably that we all struggle with. We all stand on the brink sometimes of wondering. Now with science has brought in, even to those of us who see the world from God's eyes, it blows our mind because what we can see now through science, through photography, through research, through surgery, all of those sorts of things. Absolutely unbelievable. And yet, the funny thing about us as humans is that the greater the universe that we are knowing, and therefore the greater the God who's behind all of that, sometimes the less relatable to him we grow. And certainly that's the case down through history. Before Christ came and was made visible, basically there was a big gap between what people understood intellectually, even before they started to throw the idea of God away as an idea to them, but certainly very unrelatable. There's only a few now and then flashes of clear light that we see through some of the ones in the Old Testament and even in other areas. But then the birth of the child. Then he comes to live with us, as John 1 talks about. Emmanuel, God with us. Even way back in Isaiah, he predicted that would be what would happen, That would be what it would be. It would be God in the midst of us. And then with a few that he gathered about himself, he was able to stand before this young man called Philip and say to him, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus points out that Philip has known him a long time, 3 years. We're getting right to the end of the Gospels now. We're getting close to the Garden of Gethsemane. We're getting close to Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion. Philip had been with the Lord from the beginning. He was, I think, about the second or third, I can't check, you can, in John chapter 1. But Philip had been with Christ, he'd seen Christ, he'd heard Christ, he'd watched Christ, he'd been involved in all the things along the way that Jesus involved the disciples in. But had he really seen Christ? Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Was Philip thinking of some Old Testament display that Jesus could do? You know, there was Jacob sleeping and he has this vision, you know, an amazing thing of this ladder going up to heaven and God at the top of it and the angels, and it was an awesome thing. And he realized that he was in the presence of God and he didn't know it. Philip's been in the presence of God, but he didn't know it. Philip's in the presence of God and he didn't even know that he didn't know it. And that's us, isn't it? We don't know everything. And the fact that we sometimes think we do shows that we really don't know everything. And we don't even know what we don't know. And we don't even know that we don't know. That can do your head in if you keep going along that line. Notice what Jesus said. Anyone or whoever has seen me has seen the Father. He doesn't use Elohim, God of creation. He doesn't use El Shaddai. Anyone who's seen me has seen El Shaddai. That's true too. He doesn't use the word Jehovah with all the power and authority that is rested in that name. But he uses the word Abba. Anyone who's seen me, if he's going to boil it down to any particular thing, it seems, the one thing, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Abba. The word that a child uses of their father that they love and trust, who they feel safe with. A child wanders off. A father, and when I say father, I'm not in one sense separating the father and the mother in that sense, but the relationship. Paul, when he was describing his own love and concern for some of his churches, sometimes used the term father, sometimes he used the word or and the terms regarding a nurse, sometimes for a mother. And it seems as if they're so intermingled that in some senses Paul was all of those things. And in some senses we are all of those things to our children. Perhaps God is all of those things to us in Father. A child wanders off and a father will suffer everything to find that child, to save that child. He may not be able to do it, but he will try. He will suffer everything he possibly can. He will not hold anything back if it might. Christ shows us that, doesn't he? Philip, have I been with you all this time and you still do not know me? As a father who doesn't just love and care and but who leads and guides and corrects, disciplines. Everything about us in our thoughts and in our actions that are true, Christ is the fulfillment of those things. But everything in our actions and our thoughts and whatever that is false, Christ is against them. And you love us too much to let us keep going down in that direction. And if we won't open our eyes and see our own needs, he will use others to do it. Sometimes even the law. Philip, like us, saw things that were there to be seen, yet he didn't see. But one day down the track, he received the Holy Spirit. And once he received the Holy Spirit, then he saw. Then he saw that he had seen the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we have all of the scriptures together. We have the Holy Spirit who is working, opening our eyes and opening our heart. We have seen that Christ is in the Father and the Father is in Christ. When we heard that Christ died on the cross for us, we understood that through the Spirit that God died on the cross for us. We know that when Christ promised to be with us even to the end of the age, he meant that God was with us even to the end of the age. But in a different kind of sense to Philip, but equally because of his humanity and our humanity, we must continue to come back. We must continue to look at God by truly seeing Christ, and we truly see Christ through the Spirit. All questions are answered in that statement. What is God like? What does God want me to be? We look to Christ and we see there the clearest. Hebrews says the exact representation of God. We get so busy, we get caught up in so many different things, and when we do, we can just easily slide into a very human way of looking and thinking about God. We'll twist, bend, do all kinds of things because we'll fall back on our own wisdom, fall back on our own Philippian eyes, if you like. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Think about that. If you and I know who God really is. That as we see Christ, we know that God is Christ, God is like Christ, God is Christ, Christ is God. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If we really understand that and really go on growing in that, you know what will happen? We'll be satisfied. We'll be content. We won't have everything. Life won't be all beer and Skittles. Ridiculous saying. But we'll be satisfied. Because we know who the Father is. After the resurrection, remember Jesus said to Mary, "My God is your God." Are we satisfied? Are we content? It's not about anything at all that is tangible, that we can see. It's about He who can only be seen through the eyes of faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we look at Christ. Whoever sees me has seen the Father. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you might continue to open our eyes and continue to hold us close so that the Holy Spirit is always leading us, interpreting, translating, empowering us, that we might be satisfied, Father, in you. For then surely you will be glorified in us. These things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.